You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Game time decisions.
How did the steroids get in your body? I don't know. I don't know. I'm looking into that as we speak. The one-armed man. I swear, it's a one-armed man. One-armed bandit. John Jones gets rejected by the Nevada State.
Rejected.
Athletic Commission.
Mr. Greybeard approaches Miss Hottie. Rejected.
Also gets fined. I should say the California State Athletic Commission. My bad. The California State Athletic Commission. He's annoyed athletic commissions in numerous states.
Yeah, lots of states. Multiple states.
California, Nevada. So yeah, he's been fined $205,000. 40% of his purse for his last fight, plus an additional $5,000. And now he has to go through the USADA testing and get let off the hook by USADA. You know, normally I would say that this is a big witch hunt and stuff, but you know he's guilty.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
You've known for a long time.
And the problem with John Jones is it's just shut up and admit you're guilty. You'd be, you know, to me, you'd be better off not going in front of the commission, lying to them, admitting that you never read any of the documents, that you're basically your management team forged the documents for you. Your management team then pretended to do these courses to teach you about supplements not to do, and you admit that.
It's a great point you bring up. Sometimes when you go to court, if you don't have to be there, the best approach is not going to court in any type of situation, because well, bad things can happen.
Well, I was once sued. Well, more than once, but I was I was once sued.
More than once.
And, yeah, I knew. I was screwed. I didn't go.
Yeah, just let your representative do the talking.
No, I didn't send a representative.
Oh, just nobody. Just they just made up their own judgment then.
Yes.
That's even better.
Yes.
Didn't send Lionel Hutz or anybody.
No.
Just and Morenci.
No. And I waited and I got the decision. You know, you lost. I was like, yeah.
They sent it by mail?
Yeah. Huh. I was like, yeah, you lost. You know, you owe us $13,000.
$13,000?
Yeah.
God.
That's when I responded. I got it down to like 6,000.
Oh, nice. Bartering.
Yeah, I got it down to like six five.
What'd you do?
I don't really want to get into it.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough.
Too much. Nah, I'm kidding.
We've all made mistakes.
No, I was on a radio station. I was on a radio station. I went to another radio station. I got sued by the previous station.
Really? That's weird.
Yeah.
Sued you. That's heartless. That's brutal.
It's a cold world.
It's a cold world. Could just let you enjoy yourself.
No, it was a dick move. It was a dick move, but I actually went once or twice, but I saw where it was going, and it wasn't going to end well. So I basically just rolled over and figured, why am I going to spend money on a lawyer and stuff when I'm, you know.
Another good point.
I'm done.
Sometimes when you spend money on a lawyer, they don't really give you full value. You know what I'm saying?
It's actually,
I had to go to court once, and then my biggest regret was not representing myself.
You would figure that it's like bad legal advice, you know, don't go, don't get a lawyer. But
no, it's true.
Actually, you know what? Why spend money to go just to get hosed, right?
Exactly.
I knew I was hosed.
Yeah, the guy's shaking me down in the bathroom for more money.
Like Johnny Cochran wasn't getting me out of it. It was what it was, right?
My lawyer was a stooge, Morenci. He had a perm, and he had a bad blazer, and he had buttons. Like, he worked at TGIF Fridays. At any time, like, a guy's got buttons and flair, probably a bad decision. But anyway, I learned the hard way. Should have represented myself.
You know, it's funny. I got audited at the, they wanted to, like, seize stuff.
Like your possessions?
Yeah. And I was
hey,
like,
what are you going to take? My guitar?
Like, I was like, all right. Yeah. And basically, I told him, I said, I got a futon and a TV.
Yeah,
I said,
your choice.
I said, if you want it, here's the address. I said, come get it. I was like, I don't care. I said, take the futon. Take the TV. So they didn't believe me. They thought I was stonewalling. And so I had to, like, go to a secondary type of hearing. And I had to swear, like, you know, literally, like, they busted the Bible out. And I didn't even have a bank account at the time. They were like, no license, no bank account. No, I was like, nope, yeah, nope.
You like to lay low.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I went hard. I was like 50 Cent. Like, I was refusing. Yeah. I was in Gary Brown mode in those days, Cam. I was like, no, maybe Gary Brown's got an account, but I don't.
Yeah, exactly.
So I was like, it was one of those type of deals. You know how they got me, actually? Like, a year had passed, and basically I stonewalled them. I said, listen, they didn't accept my settlement barter. I said, I offered to pay them like $150 a month or something. They were like, you got to be kidding. And I was like,
I'm not a rich man.
This is what I'm offering you. So
that's the best. Yeah. $150 for 10 years.
That's what they said. The buddy goes, it'll take you 8 years. He's like, it's ridiculous. It's unacceptable. And then they sent some stooge down. He goes, come on, I got to go back to my bosses with something. They had like the younger type of guy. So that's when I got the secondary attorney to negotiate it down. But how they got me was I became the host at a Montreal Canadiens postgame show.
Yeah, so everyone, they know who you are. It's not that you can't be Gary Brown incognito. Hey, everybody, it's Gabriel Morenci, Habs post time.
It's hard.
It's like, we know where he's working. Ken, we know where the soundboard is.
It's pretty freaking hard in Montreal to lay low. You're the host at a Canadiens postgame show.
Great point.
Brought to you by Molson. Okay, I'm Gabriel Morenci. Brought to you by Molson. I'm coming on.
You're right. That's like the one job where everyone knows who you are.
So finally, the accountant of Chum called me into the office.
Chum, tough. Those guys are tough.
Yeah, they called me in. He's like,
they're tough guys.
He's a nice old man. He's like, Gabriel, we seem to have a little problem. He's like, this law firm contacted us. And you're like, we have no choice when we're legally obligated. So basically, I got dock salary. Like,
garnished.
Like you said, Chum played by the book.
Yeah.
Right? And they didn't want to upset anybody. So they were like, tough, Gabe. We had to sign over the checks. I was like, you did what? I was so upset. Then I ended up moving out of the province. I believe there's a statute of limitations on this stuff.
Yeah, sure is.
Or at least I hope there is.
Yeah, there is.
Otherwise, there's a lot of... What about parking tickets and stuff like that? Is that forever?
No. The problem with parking tickets... You're good, though. The problem with parking tickets, I tried to play that game, too, for a while. The problem is, it's still on record. It's not like the computer's going anywhere. So they just tally up all the stuff and go, sir, you owe us $1,500 if you ever want to drive a car again. So you go, well, I guess I'm taking the bus. Like, you understand, it seems like a good idea at the time, but if you don't pay them for years, it's not going anywhere. They don't magically disappear. The only people you could shake, like I shook my cell phone company. Remember, by the end of my contract, remember when I took that cab and the guy lost my phone and I flipped out and stuff like that? I was pissed. I was like, the guy obviously stole it. I know he did, but whatever. And they go, you owe us, like $800-something to the end of the contract. I go, I'm not paying you. So that's the guy who calls me every day. When you see the number flash up on my phone, it goes, that 1-866 number? I shake them.
I have a lot of 1-866 numbers.
Yeah, I only got a couple guys I'm shaking right now.
All right, so speaking of legality, so John Jones tried to get his license back. He'll be able to fight again, but he was just trying to get it sort of dropped. And they said, no, listen, you keep on failing tests. You got to go through the regular process here. He didn't even have a good lie. But it's a very litigious day today. Cowboys owner Jerry Jones, remember last year, Cam, or a couple of months ago last year, in this football season, with the Elliott stuff, how Roger Goodell was really messing with the Cowboys all the time. I don't even like Elliott. I think
he's
troll-looking, I don't like the guy. But the Cowboys did get screwed with all year long.
That's true.
Right before the year starts.
When's he coming back?
It was evident that they were trying to sabotage them.
They were.
And... of course, Jerry Jones threatened to sue the NFL, pull Papa John's sponsorship, and things got pretty ugly between him and Roger Goodell. Now, they were sort of pretending that everything's okay, but right now they're right back to where they were again. And here, this is according to ESPN, the feud between Goodell and Jones got so bad. Jones told him, I'm going to come after you with everything that I have. Then he mentioned Deflategate. He goes, if you think Bob Kraft came after you, Bob Kraft is a freaking pussy compared to what I'm going to do to you.
Quote, unquote. That's amazing. You got to like Jerry, though.
I censored the freaking part.
Yeah,
right?
Okay.
So, yeah, Jerry Jones. Imagine in his voice, too. You think Robert Kraft, I swear to God, you're a freaking pussy. I'll come after you. So, Jerry Jones, like, freaking out. So get this. Jerry Jones has been fined $2 million now.
$2 million?
For insubordination.
Yeah, insubordination.
Yeah, the rest of the owners think that he went too far.
He went rogue.
And that he should pay $2 million.
That's nuts.
Like, it's insane. You already screwed him.
I know.
You sabotaged the Cowboys' year. Goodell, you won your little pissing match with him. You sabotaged his year.
Well, it sounds like to me...
There's no way in hell I would pay $2 million to the NFL if I was Jerry Jones right now.
I'll tell you one thing. These owners aren't in, like, tight with each other. They'll throw one guy off the bus so quick.
They hate Jerry Jones.
It's very obvious and clear they do hate Jerry Jones. That's nuts. $2 million
for what?
What's
the fine? The fine is basically Jerry Jones's conduct. It's ridiculous. What do you mean the conduct? I'm an owner. You work for me.
Exactly. It's the opposite.
I tell him, you're lucky you have a damn job. And remember though, it was Jerry Jones who flipped out. And he goes, why are we paying this guy $45 million a year?
I agree.
And he was really adamant. He goes, how about we pay you $8 million a year?
That's still a good salary.
And now he gets fined. What is this? Like North Korea?
I'm with you, like, on Jerry Jones.
It's like if Roger Goodell could shoot him, he would. It's like Kim Jong-un. You can't even, like, what's the deal? So if you speak out?
Yeah, no opinions.
So according to the New York Times, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell is expected to fine Jerry Jones millions of dollars in a move that the NFL is expected to announce in the coming week. According to the NFL, the total amount owed will be $2 million, according to NFL.com. It's not technically a fine. The league will be asking Jones to reimburse the legal cost that the NFL had to fork out while dealing with Jones during the Elliott case.
What a joke.
What, are they insane?
I know. He should countersue.
What is this, a dictatorship?
Dun, dun, dun.
The biggest fine ever handed down by the league was $1 million to the NFL on Eddie DeBartolo. Remember the
Eddie DeBartolo with the Niners. Yeah.
The Louisiana gambling scandal in the late 90s.
Nice.
So...
That's great.
This is ridiculous.
You're right.
And the thing is, I don't like Elliott, but
I don't even like the Cowboys.
There was no evidence that he did anything.
Correct.
If you added them all up, no charges ever filed in Columbus. Dude got knocked out in a bar in Dallas. It wasn't Elliott. You can't suspend Elliott if one of his buddies dropped somebody in a bar.
What happened to freedom of speech?
Him grabbing the chick's breast and lifting her top up. It was Mardi Gras. No, and he didn't go up to a stranger. He was on a float with a chick that was flashing the crowd. She pulled her top down, and Elliott said, no, 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 and he pulled it back up.
You say it's party time.
No criminal charges. No. It's Mardi Gras. You add up all of it. Hey, listen, he's an Urban Meyer player. He went to Ohio State. He's like John Jones. We know he's guilty of things. But they didn't really have the proof. I thought it was a Bush League suspension in the first place. And now, on top of
Jerry
it, you wanted to pay $2 million.
Jerry Jones is going to go postal if he keeps on getting
really
his fines.
Is.
No, and in his defense, I'm with you, man. I'm on his side.
He owns 400 Papa John's. Yeah, if I was him, I'd just
say, we're done.
I'd say, yeah.
You know what? You guys want to be the pizza done. Of the NFL? Screw you, Goodell.
Let Domino's
screw you.
Do it.
Exactly. Their stock is peaking, Domino's.
That's the thing. Domino's would do it. That's
hey,
the thing. Domino's
right.
would come right
Of course they would. They got 50% off pies on Monday.
To be honest, Cam, it's probably a pretty lucrative. That's the one product placement that would probably works pretty well. The pizza.
Pizza?
Yeah. NFL food. Fans, you're getting ambushed with the same pizza company. Let's say, like, you know, people like Papa John's. All right, I'll try Papa John's. If they get ambushed during NFL Sunday, Domino's. Eventually, you're going to crack. Let me give Domino's deep dish a try.
It's
you
a
know?
Great point. And I'll tell you something.
Good pie.
Being a representative for a pizza company, Domino's has really upped their game. They used to be like just like slapping out like garbage pies. Now, they're the kings of the deep dish. Like, they take Pizza Hut. They take them to task
right,
now.
So I think it's ridiculous.
No, I agree. And the thing is, freedom of speech. The guy can't express his opinion.
All right, so but, how about this?
Yep.
Steelers safety Sean Davis. Mm-hmm. Goes into a Chick-fil-A.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another litigious situation. Steelers safety Sean Davis is being sued by a Pittsburgh area family who allege that Sean Davis mocked their teenage son on social media while Davis waited in line at Chick-fil-A. All right. They claim that their son was then bullied at school and tormented due to Davis's video. Now, this is the case. Davis goes into Chick-fil-A. There's a big lineup. He goes onto it. He starts filming a video, looks into the camera and says, Chick-fil-A got like little kids working here. This kid's like 8 years old. No wonder the lines are so long at Chick-fil-A.
Yeah. That's it?
And then Seth Davis then put an emoji face of a laughing with tears coming out of his eyes. And he said, damn, they've got 8-year-old kids working here. No wonder the line is so long.
Uh-huh.
And the kid is then the family are now suing.
Did their kid work there?
Their kid was a teenager who got tormented and made fun of its school because Seth Davis said he looked like an 8-year-old. Seth Davis said, my intention of the video had nothing to do with the kid.
Exactly.
He goes, I was making a point about a billion-dollar corporation and me waiting in line. It had nothing to do with this young man. What they're alleging completely goes against everything I stand for and how I live my life. The lawsuit claims they're suing him for libel, cyberbullying, intentional infliction of emotional distress, and slander.
They got no case. They got no case.
It's not cyberbullying.
No.
He's an NFL football player. He sees a little teenage kid there, and he's like, damn, they got 8-year-olds working here. No wonder I'm waiting.
What's the biggest problem with society, Gabe? Everyone's trying to fleece everybody.
That's not cyberbullying.
It's time for a quick buck.
All right. They asked Davis to do a public service announcement condemning cyberbullying. He refused. He said, I didn't cyberbully anyone.
Exactly.
Davis offered the kid free tickets to a football camp and practice of the Pittsburgh Steelers training camp. Well, we'll hit this on the other side.
Wow.
Dave Malinsky, big man joining us as well.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network, iHeart, powered by mybcasino.ag. Check it out, mybcasino.ag. Get a 200% sign-up bonus. Live dealers.
Promo code?
Very attractive live dealers that don't look like me or Cam.
Quite the opposite of.
Yeah.
Like the opposite.
Yeah, like if you're not into like virtual casinos and stuff and online, they actually have live dealers. So there's actually
like beautiful people.
There's actually interactions. They have huge bonuses, free spins, and so much more. So right off the bat, you're already winning from the day you create an account. And best of all, when you win big, you'll get paid fast and easy. Blackjack, roulette, slots, any other game. MYB Casino has it all. Live dealers online. And, of course, they also have virtual horse racing, in which Cam is a big fan of.
I love virtual horse racing. One of my favorites. Real horse racing is pretty tough, so let's go to virtual. Right, buddy?
Let's go to Las Vegas, which we will be.
Exactly.
We will be going to Las Vegas. And I actually saw that McCarran Airport actually installed green bins for recycling.
Oh.
Your marijuana. On the way out. Because now it's legal, so a lot of people get to the airport. In the old days, it would have been, oh, no.
Yeah.
And I've been in that position, oh, no. And I had to throw it. I'm like, ooh.
What am I doing here?
They actually install green bins. So basically,
chuck it out, and then it goes to
leaving.
Oh, nice.
Because it's still illegal federally to bring on a plane, even though it's legal in the state.
Who gets to take home the green bin? That's the question.
They're claiming that they destroy it.
I don't believe it. No, I don't believe
They should put it in, like, brownies and give it to homeless people.
Yeah, that's another. I make edibles.
Just let the workers at the airport keep it.
Hey, here's your bonus,
it's
guys.
A little bonus.
That's right. We got
just say, who smokes weed?
We do.
Yeah, this is what people laugh like.
That's right.
Hey. I hate throwing it away.
Oh, throwing it away is like throwing money away.
I'm a pretty nice guy. You know, like when I left Hooters before and I was going right to the airport, I didn't have the heart to throw it away, and I knew there's all these grifters around.
Yeah, give them a gift.
I basically just sort of left it on the side in the parking lot.
Once
I just dropped it.
Oh, my God, scavenger hunt.
Yeah, some guy will find it. I'd rather take it, you know what I mean?
You know what? That's a great game to play. Yeah, almost like, just, you know,
you drop it in front of a liquor store. You know what I mean? It's going to get
picked up. Watch the jackals.
You're making some homeless guy's day.
Honestly, that's a great thing. I'm with you,
Gabe. Let's bring in Dave Malinsky. Straight from the strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. You can read his daily column at sportsbookreview.com right on the front page. Dave, always a pleasure. How you doing?
Let's also note, by the way, that those bids at McCarran are called amnesty boxes. And I kind of like that. You know, I thought that was pretty good. But here's the thing. Since so much of the consumption out here is through edibles, I just get the feeling you're going to get a bunch of brownie wrappers in there. Not a lot of product. You can consume the product right there and just dump the wrapper off, and then you'll get on your plane.
I read the story in the local Vegas paper, the Review Journal, and they're basically stating that it's crazy the things that they're finding in there. People are dropping syringes and.
It's not just
like ecstasy. Yeah, it's
like,
you know,
everything. Get rid of it.
Well, people are partying hard in Vegas, right?
Good point.
A lot of vape pens. Mm. You know, people are just dropping different things.
Right. It's a grab bag in the bin. Wow.
I like it, Dave. It's amnesty.
But, of course, it does go back to that old slogan that's been around for about 11 years now. It's still, we can say, what happens in Vegas stays in.
Yeah, literally.
Well said. Yeah,
including your money. Yeah. Including your money. Speaking of Vegas, actually, Dave, I'm always a fan of when the Westgate starts to release the baseball props for the year. Who's going to have the most home runs, over-under pitchers. And I see offshore, Bet Online has popped up with some pitcher props. Dave, I'm not going to put you in a hot seat right now as far as these are concerned, but I like these, and I've been pretty successful as opposed to just betting the future for the team and having to worry about getting 86 wins or so. Like a good example, guys, was last year Marcus Stroman, who's actually injured already.
Yep.
But Marcus Stroman, Dave, it was 10.5 last year. He won his 11th game, I believe, in like the first week of August.
Exactly.
He hit the wall right after, actually.
Yeah, that's true. He got there and stall.
I remember my Twitter blowing up. He's got it made. I'm like, let's just get that. Let's get to 11 because he was stuck at 10. He got to 11. Then he sort of got hurt and it was shaky. But what's your take on pitching props, Dave? Over under pitching props for pitchers?
You know, here's part of the reason, though, why odds makers out here really don't like your network. Because you're making people so much sharper on those things. And they said that that's what they've had to learn the last couple of years, is that they understood baseball bettors for a long time. But now the fantasy people are so sharp at what they do that if they put a bad prop up, they see guys coming to the counter they haven't seen before. They make good bets. They win those bets. And here's the problem. They don't get those guys to bet anything else.
Yeah,
so they
only
come in and clean out those soft spots.
The fantasy guys are tight, Dave.
Yeah,
misers.
But
they're smart.
But they're misers. They are, but they're smart,
but they
smart
right,
misers.
Dave. They don't sprinkle the board. They just know what they want to bet.
They attack and get out.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Keep that in mind, though, Gabe. If you're at the window, let's say you bet some NCAA tournament games, and you're going to ask for free drink tickets or something, don't tell them. You're Gabe Morenci from the Fantasy Network. That's not going to help you at all from a Vegas standpoint. You guys do so much every day to sharpen up that marketplace.
Telling anybody I'm Gabriel Morenci anywhere doesn't help me anywhere.
Can you put your ID in that amnesty box?
Yeah.
Dave. Good. Some smart fantasy baseball guys before us were actually talking about this Ohtani guy.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think, Dave? It's one thing to be one thing to play two-way baseball in the Japanese league, and no disrespect to Japanese baseball. It's elite baseball.
It is.
It's very good baseball. But as a rookie coming into the major leagues, Dave, that's really like, it's like a football player. And not just like, oh, I play DB and wide receiver. It's like, nah, I'm the QB and linebacker. You know, designated hitter and pitcher, Dave. Is this kid biting off too much, too much at once, do you think?
Well, I think they have to understand that Major League Baseball is less polite than the Japanese league. If you're the DH on Friday and you're scheduled to be the starting pitcher on Sunday in the same series, how many times are you going to have to hit the dirt on Friday with inside fastballs? And that's part of it where this can get extremely awkward, is if you're scheduled to pitch late in a series, anytime you come to the plate early in that series, there is that prospect. Because keep in mind, it's not so much that you want to hit the guy, but you wanted to have to hit the dirt. You throw that high fastball, and when he hits the dirt and he uses his right, uses his wrist or something to break the fall, it can be just enough to tweak him and impact his pitching. So that's where it's going to be real problematic, is how many times literally are we going to see him get knocked down in a plate appearance?
That's a great point. Like, think about it, too. Oh,
that's
like,
why I call him the professor.
Exactly. That's
Dave,
really Dave's a good point.
Sharper.
And he also,
sharper's a cup.
Also, the probability of getting hurt more facing, it all gets
now,
in there.
Now, obviously, one appearance, Dave, one pitching appearance doesn't justify what's going to happen in the future. But he's more comfortable right now in the box than he is. I mean, he's got a couple of hits. He's driven in runs, etc. He's he doesn't seem to have a problem hitting the major league pitching, at least spring training pitching, we should say. But he did get lit up, and he had a hard time getting through at pitching. They released a win total of 10.5, Dave. It's a little ambitious. It's not easy to win 11 games as a big league pitcher. It sounds low to people, but 11 wins. But I'm actually a little bullish on the Angels coming into this year, Dave. They showed us something last year when Trout was out, in my opinion.
Yeah, let's extend this a little bit further, though, because it's not just what he does in the batter's box. I did a column about Dave Parker today as one of the lead topics for Point Blank, and it's made me think back about Willie Stargell a little bit.
Pop.
And if people don't remember Stargell playing at first base, one of the things he did is he had the hardest slap tag on a pickoff play of anyone I had ever seen. Well, you know who got that slap the most? If an opposing pitcher manages to get on base, even if he's not taking a lead, you're going to throw over 3 or 4 times. Stargell's going to put that slap tag on him. There are all these little things that you could do to wear a guy down. But no, here's another issue. Even though, like you, I like the Angels a little bit, the one thing we can't necessarily trust yet is going to be that bullpen. And part of getting over 10.5 means the bullpen getting you clean wins when you give them the positioning. Might that bullpen cost a couple of wins? Not necessarily that the Angels will lose, but they may give a lead away to reclaim it in the latter innings. I don't know if that bullpen is clean enough yet.
Well, Professor, he's digging in. The slap tags, Gabe, it's kind of like in the mixed martial arts. Those little slap, the little kicks over time.
I don't believe
it'll wear you down.
I don't believe this guy's winning 11 games.
No, yes, you're going under.
Yeah, you're leaning under. Well, I'm leaning under right now. I'm not locking it in.
Interesting. Professor, let's talk college basketball right now. And I really enjoyed your column, not just reading about the Pittsburgh Pirates in baseball, but an interesting point you bring up about the Texas Tech Red Raiders with the 3 seniors out. That game in West Virginia in Morgantown, it got ugly early. They hung around. They ended up losing by 10 points, but you made a lot of good points saying, don't sleep on this team, because a lot of times they would have mailed it in and got absolutely smoked, but they battled without their big guns, and that's a good sign leading into the tournament.
It's a real sticking point for people here in Las Vegas, because at one point for about 2.5 hours, Chris Beard was the UNLV coach before the Texas Tech position opened up. And I think the people at UNLV now are alarmed by, they know what they missed when they lost Beard. The fact that he kept coaching every possession of that game, he's coaching for next week, for next season, for full development, he did not wave a white flag, and the heart that his team competed with, because one of the reasons why we brought this up, they lost a close game to Kansas on Saturday. Keenan Evans, their best player, playing with a foot injury was ineffective. One of their other key guys, Justin Gray, got hurt in the first minute, didn't play the rest of the game. Well, guess what? They out-rebounded Kansas. They had fewer turnovers than Kansas. They had more steals than Kansas. They physically outplayed them, even with those key cogs not helping the way they ordinarily would. Kansas just happened to make a bunch of tough shots to win that game. So here's two losses in a row for Tech that, from my standpoint, may be wins instead. Last night's a win from a team attitude standpoint. But if you can give those seniors a little time off right now, give Keenan Evans a whole week to heal his foot. Justin Gray will pass the concussion protocol by the Big 12 tournament. How about this before the futures even get out there? Let's project Texas Tech to win the Big 12 tournament next week, not Kansas, because Tech is the deeper team, and both times head-to-head, they've actually outplayed them on the court. There was just one time they weren't as efficient making shots, but Tech could be a great sleeper in that conference tournament next week.
And you know what? I found odds where are these from. These are a Bet Online, so a reputable book. Here, Big 12 tournament. Texas Tech 9-2. So that's about +450.
Yeah, +450.
Four and a half to one, Dave.
I'd like for them to be a little more generous than that. But that's part of the problem, though, with those futures. So I know, Gabe, something you and I have talked about, and we can put it out there for the listeners.
Yeah, the rollover.
Yeah, if you don't think you're getting quite enough, if you'd like 6-1 instead of 9-2, which you bet the money line on Tech in their first game, when they win it, take the winnings, roll it into the second, roll it into the third, and that three-game sequence will likely pay better than the 9-2 would. So it's something to keep in mind.
That's a great gambling tip.
Dave, you and I have talked a lot recently about teams to keep our eye on, and I know you're high on my Michigan Wolverines, and there's a lot to like about this team at 80-1. A team that we haven't talked about, and nobody really seems to be talking about nationally, but they seem to be coming together at a good time of the year right now. They're a confident basketball team, and there's a basketball team that's playing tonight, the Tar Heels. Those guys, the defending champions. No one's talking about this basketball team at all. Dave, are you buying in at all? The Tar Heels, 18-1.
I am. It's a team that's got a terrific chemistry because you've got guys like Pinson and Barry that have been around for 4 years. And it's one thing to be a senior, but it's another when, guess what, you've been to the Final Four 2 years in a row and within a hair of winning the championship 2 years in a row. There's nothing that's going to be thrown at them in this year's tournament that's going to phase them in any way. And that's part of what we're going to see in a field that's not as strong as it's been in the past. Teams bring weaknesses. Carolina will not bring a mental weakness. They will be relaxed. They will be calm, especially because the ACC tournament will also toughen them up a little bit next week. I mean, great closing sequence. You play Duke, then the ACC tournament, then the big dance. So they will be ready, but
it's
they'll
a
be
nice
so
bet.
Calm and collected.
Battle tested.
$100, guys. Just $100. You get $1,900
back. That's very good for a program with a pedigree like them.
For a team that's been in back-to-back championship games.
It's a wicked bet.
Yeah, there's some real value on the board coming into this tournament this year, Dave.
Yeah, one of the things everyone should put in mind, as you look at these various teams on the board, tie game, 20 seconds left, does the team expect to win? Well, you can't say that of everybody. Yeah, when you get into the, because not many of these have made those deep runs. North Carolina will expect to win. That makes a big difference.
Dave, college basketball, we got about a minute left, actually. So over the last couple of days, it's been tricky to keep our eye on players, who's ineligible, who's sitting, our program scared. What's the deal with Pope tonight? And regardless of Pope's situation, you think we've got a live road dog with the Broncos tonight, Boise State, San Diego State?
I think we do with Boise, one of the best rebounding teams in the nation. And when you hit the boards well, you play well on the road. Yeah, shooting can come and go. Board work is consistent. That's why they've already won 4 conference games outright on the road. They won the last 2 trips here. Pope did practice yesterday, and they said today it's an administrative thing. They're trying to get as many details as possible. It looks like he took a $1,400 loan, and apparently has admitted to it.
Hey, who
has
it?
They're trying to figure out.
We got to get out of here, Dave. Sorry.
All right. But let's say Pope may play. We just will not know till tip-off.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Well, it feels like just yesterday that the Philadelphia Eagles were beating the New England Patriots in Super Bowl 52. But there is no offseason in the National Football League. The 2018 Combine has arrived. And we've got NFL coverage for you all year long here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Catch the three-hour 2018 NFL Combine special hosted by Mike Blewett. With College Football Today host Joe Lisi and Rich Sermonello providing way too much information on the Combine participants. And Corey Parsons, the fantasy exec, will be kicking it with them. That's Wednesday. It's going to be 4 to 7 head-to-head with us. I don't know why I'm promoting this. I'm kidding. Head-to-head with us on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube channel. Rebroadcast and telecast will air on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network until the Combine's conclusion on Sunday. All right, and don't forget to listen to Corey Parson and Tony Cicada every Thursday and Friday night during the offseason at 10 p.m. Eastern, and Sundays from 12 p.m. Eastern.
Eastern. Yeah, yeah. 12 p.m. Eastern.
I was just thinking. I was wondering, like, what, did they give Cicada a break? Like,
I wonder if it's the same Blewett as, because I watch a lot of horse racing at Aqueduct. They have the guys. He's one of the guys who picks the winners at the track.
I doubt it.
Might be related. It's not a popular last name.
Speaking of picking winners, big man on campus picks winners.
Yes.
Do we have a big man on campus here, Florio? I'm assuming no.
No.
Hello? Is there anybody out there?
I'm here.
Big man on campus? Jeff Nadeau? Our guest?
Yeah, he's got
all right,
winners, yeah. winners, and more winners. We had a good night in college basketball last night, buddy.
Mike Florio will get Jeff Nadeau on the phone here in a second.
You talked about it. Texas with the cover, barely, but they got it done. You know what? Gabe would have swept the board. Had a little piece of Air Force. They got it done. You know what the only game that screwed me? Marquette and Georgetown, and it went to overtime. I was like, please, please don't go. And Marquette ended up winning by 4 points there to ruin a really good college night.
Yeah, we crushed it.
We crushed the college last night.
Texas going over the number against Kansas. You know, that was a nice play.
Virginia Tech outright.
Virginia Tech. Well, Virginia Tech, they were 7.5-point favorites.
No, they're
Virginia Tech. Yeah, Virginia Tech outright. Yeah, they were 5 points.
Yep.
Yeah, Steve Merrill said they were a live dog in that spot last night.
Mm-hmm.
Underdogs are barking right now in the college basketball world.
They sure are, buddy.
Malinsky likes Boise State.
Yeah, the old Broncos
this
tonight.
Evening. I've been very successful with the totals as of late. The overs. You know, we talk about it. The Big East has been a very high scoring conference. The Big 12 as well has been cashing some overs. ACC, North Carolina are an over machine.
Oh, yeah.
The Miami Hurricanes suddenly, you know, 10 and 4 to the over their last 14 basketball games. Let's bring in a guy who's been crushing it on the college hardwood. Big man on campus, Jeff Nadeau on Twitter. You can follow him at Jeff Nadeau. What's going on, big man?
Hey, what's up, boys? How you doing?
Always a pleasure, man. Always a pleasure. We're having fun talking college basketball. Malinsky was just with us. We were talking about North Carolina, not about laying the 10.5 tonight, but moving forward, there's some pretty nice odds, big man, on some pretty good basketball teams going into the tournament. You know, North Carolina, nobody's talking about them, but we're talking about a team. You know, you saw them against Villanova 2 years ago in a championship game. They're defending champions from last year. They played in big games before. They're an experienced team. They're playing their best basketball of the year right now. They have an experienced coach. At 18-1, the Tar Heels are starting to talk to me, big man.
Yeah, I guess for me, you know, is this team as talented though as some of the past teams? And, you know, you got to remember, you don't exactly have a smart head coach. I mean, Roy Williams is one of the most overrated coaches I've ever seen in any sport. And is the talent level there for this team? I mean, they've had some real inconsistencies this year. I mean, I love Joe Barry. I think Luke May goes in and out as a player, and I wonder how dominant he is. You don't have that Bryce Johnson type of player on this team. You know, a lot of moving parts, you know, a lot of guys that you're hoping will play well.
You know what it is, big man, though? I hear what you're saying. They have underachieved at times, and Barry is a frustrating dude. He reminds me of Jeff Teague. He's like Jeff Teague. Sometimes Teague's like an all-star, and other times, like, dude, why are you missing the layup? Why did you pass to that guy? Like, why are you doing the things that you're doing? But one thing about North Carolina, would you agree with this, and we've seen, they play well in big moments. You know, against Duke, we've seen it. Like, they do rise to the occasion. They'll underachieve, but when it really counts, these kids have stepped up in the past, big man.
Yeah, and you're definitely right with that. I guess also my kind of gripe with them this year is I don't think this is a very good ACC, frankly. I mean, Louisville's down. Syracuse is down. Pittsburgh in the past has been decent. You know, teams like that. I mean, you have the Miami. You know, the second half of the season is really kind of, you know, went away. Ask yourself, I mean, are there any really great teams in this kind
of Notre Dame's been injured. Notre Dame's been injured all year. Yeah,
exactly. Fonzie Colson's been out. You got Virginia. Okay, I'll give you that. You got Duke. But, you know, is Duke an elite team? I mean, their guards have been inconsistent. I think they've pulled the wool over eyes a bit, UNC. They're still really good. They do the little things. They're an elite rebounding team always. Very good offensively.
You just said it right there. Look, Duke's in the 6-1 range. I think North Carolina have every bit as chance of winning as Duke does, if not more.
If you look
put it that way.
You look at those teams, they're very, very close. 1-6-1, 1-18-1. There's a huge discrepancy.
Duke doesn't win
there.
Close basketball
That's
games.
Right.
And, you know, Grayson Allen.
You saw it against Virginia Tech.
Yeah,
they lost down the stretch. They had a lead in that game late.
Yeah, you know, Bagley dominates, but is he that go-to guy in the tournament?
The problem that Duke has, Gabe and Cam, is Duke never seems to be on the same page. They've had Francis Bagley, him and Carter have been phenomenal all year. It just seems like when they play well, the point guard and the guards can't play well. Trayvon Duval has been a massive disappointment. And you look at when Bagley's not in there, then they start playing well, the guards. They just have been a maddening team. They have no idea what defense they're running half the time. And like I said, when their guards play well, they don't have a big involved. And when their bigs play well, either guards or – that's the reason they lost the Virginia game. The guards were terrible in that game. And they've just been too inconsistent. The ACC to me this year, it's Virginia to me. That's it.
Yeah. We'll talk about, Gabe, a game on when I saw you doing your picks of the day, an interesting game that jumped out. Tennessee and Mississippi State, Gabe. We've been down to Starksville. We had a good time down there. Now the dog's barking. 2-point favorite against Tennessee tonight.
They're in Lenardi's first four outright now.
Well, they got to win tonight.
18-1 on their home court. Tennessee have shown an ability to win on the road before, but, you know, we've seen these last home games and, you know, these teams that are on the bubble, the fan base. I talked about this last night on the podcast, actually, big man. Everyone talks, oh, last home game for the you know, the players on the team, some seniors or some guys are going to be leaving, etc. But it's even bigger for the students. It's a big part of their life, you know, 4 years there. They're not one-and-doners. They've been going to games for 4 years. They've broken up with chicks, hooked up with chicks, puked, gotten drunk, won money, lost money.
It's been a ride.
Yeah, I noticed the crowds are really, really extra emotional. And I know tonight it's going to be insane there this evening. But insane crowds don't lead to victories all the time. But they are 18-1 on their home court. Any take on that game?
Yeah, actually, I have a lot on this game. I'm a big fan of generally backing teams that need to win basketball games. St. Bonaventure's a prime example recently.
They're on my list tonight.
Weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't, dude, they're getting no respect, St.
Yeah,
Bonnie's.
Like, why are they 1.5-point favorites against Davidson?
I brought it up. I mean, the Bonnie's on a 10-game win streak. They're 12-1 at home. Davidson just 6-7 on the road, but the number's only 2 points. Bonnie's not getting a lot of love, but, you know, continue, big man, about Mississippi State.
Yeah, with Mississippi State, you know, you guys made the great point that, you know, they need this game. They're in my first blowout myself. I think Mississippi State, you know, the crowd there's been great, and that's one of the reasons that they're a team. You look at them 18-1 at home, and you think, just wow, you know, I didn't even know about this all season. This is a very tough conference to win at on the road. It just is. And I got to tell you guys, Mississippi State is getting Tennessee at an opportune time. This Tennessee team is not playing well offensively. They're only shooting 38% over the last five games. And I got to tell you guys, you look at the first game these teams played. Mississippi State won by five. They're just not a particularly good matchup against this Tennessee offense. This Tennessee offense, the goal for them is to filter the offense through the picks. Williams, Schofield. What Mississippi State and Ben Hallen have is they have an elite, they have elite rim protectors. They're very good in post defense. They make you shoot jump shots. That's no way to win. Tennessee's not a good enough offense. The guards aren't good enough. They're only shooting 41% against Mississippi State all season this year, opponents. I just don't think it's a particularly good matchup. I think the under is a good play here as well. This is a game that I'm going to be looking at a little bit later. I like the under in this game particularly. First game only got to 125. Total up to 138.5. I think a little too high here. I think this is a game that's meaningful for both these teams. Tennessee needs some consistency. Mississippi State, obviously, possession is going to be very important. Pace isn't going to be a problem here. I think the under looks pretty good here.
Going back to that St. Bonaventure-Davidson game, they're only laying 1.5. You got to think the Bonnies need to, they need this. They need to win the game too, there, big man. That seems like a short price. You can lay the 1.5 or a buck 25, 30 on the money line. I think I'm going to, if you're like Mississippi State, are you down with St. Bonaventure tonight against Davidson?
I think I'm definitely. St. Bonnie's been good to me this year for the most part, but I'll tell you what, Cam, they've been a little concerning. I just wonder, you know, do they have more than Adams and Mobley? They have real good guard play, but can they get someone else to step up? They've been able to recently. That's a great place to watch a basketball game. They have some great fans up there. Davidson, though, is a tough team. They've had a coach that has been there about 40 years, it seems like. He's coached some great guards. But, yeah, in a winnable game, Davidson, not a ton to play for here, really. I would lean Bonaventure. That's a great place to play up there. They should have the crowd. Just because you have the crowd doesn't necessarily mean you're going to win, but their elite guard play is, I think, just going to get them over the top here.
Anything else you've taken a look at tonight on the college card? I'm playing some totals tonight. You and I have talked a lot about the Big East being a high-scoring conference. I think we can get there tonight in the DePaul-Creighton game. I think we can get there. But what catches your eye tonight, big man?
Yeah, I think there's a couple games. Obviously, I think Alabama really needs to get a big win. They're close to the bubble, in my opinion. I mean, they've just been really kind of inconsistent. Another inconsistent team in the SEC. What a surprise. Arkansas, tough. They need a win. Alabama's got Florida, though. Florida's just such a bipolar team. It's hard to ever think you're going to know what to get from them.
They're a disappointment to me.
But the Gators, they've overachieved this year.
Yeah. You know, they could be Gators really in the tournament because they're so athletic and they could be good, but those losses just keep racking up. They've won six straight times in Alabama before. You know, but still, I don't trust the Gators here.
Yeah, Alabama's been a real tough place to go play as well tonight. So I don't know that I'm running to the winner to get Florida. One other one real quick. You know I'm a big small conference fan. I'm very much into these. I'm looking at High Point tonight against Longwood. This Longwood team is... Guys, when I mean this, you know I know these teams. This team is, to me, one of the worst teams in the country. They're dreadful. High Point is a team this year that's absolutely murdered them in both games. Teams like Longwood, Presbyterian, you'll see it last night with Upstate, they just go away. I mean, they get hit in the mouth once. Generally, they don't even get hit in the mouth. They don't even need to get hit in the mouth. They just run away and hide. Longwood's a bad team. I'd imagine they lose by 20-plus this game. High Point's actually a pretty good team, good guards. They should be able to wipe the floor with Longwood.
We seem like High Point type of guys, eh, Gabe? High Point?
No take on Warner Pacific and College of Idaho. Warner Pacific.
Warner? Oh, yeah, that one's OTB. It's off the board.
Warner Pacific. We're betting on high school games now? What's that?
College
Warner Pacific
of Idaho.
High school? Yeah, Warner Pacific.
I've actually bet on high school before, but that's another story.
I bet on Little League Baseball, Little League World Series.
Well, I mean, guys, listen, Five Dimes offers sometimes that they offer high school, and it's high-level competition. I know the teams. So.
Well, me and Cam have bet on high school football.
Yeah, we've done everything.
Sure.
Cam had like a street book, and it was the most random thing, dude. Like, they wouldn't have, like, Don Bosco prep, or they wouldn't have Bishop Gorman games, but they'd have, like, Kentucky
High School.
Division, you know, state 4A level. It was like,
wow.
So it was real random states, dude. So it was like you'd have to dig. It wasn't like the obvious, all right, it's Dom Robb. You know, we got Bosco Prep taking on Bishop Gorman. Like, that's a real game. Like, we were digging deep. Yeah. It was like Mississippi, you know, Alabama high school circuit and stuff.
Monster lines,
pretty
too.
Pretty crazy. It was like a street book, too. And they was big, big numbers for that stuff.
Yeah, they're they normally don't put any of that stuff. You have to, like, look for that kind of stuff. But, yeah, listen, hey, if I have an edge on something, you know, I'm going to bet it, you know. And if you follow
in Las Vegas, big man, it's big, right? Like Finley Prep in basketball is big time, and Bishop Gorman in football is big time, and the casinos take action on everything except that. There's actually a big market with the local bookies in Vegas that are betting on the Bishop Gorman football and Finley Prep basketball games, and they take action on. They're doing, like, the top 25, like, USA Today games. You know what I mean, big man? You know?
Yeah, like, I tell you, I mean, sometimes you just find little things, little edges, and you ride them. I remember last year, very random, it was in the summer. I was down at my short house, I was just looking through Five Times, and I found this Irish soccer league. It's the League of Ireland. It's the League One. And I found this team called Cork City, and, like, I just kept betting them, and they were just rolling every team. And I remember I kept getting other people on them. They're like, and you know what was great about the Irish League? It was Friday. So it was like I'd bet a game, then I'd go to the beach for a while and sit on the beach, come back, and it'd be like a 3-4-0 win, and I was just cashing tons. People were like, where the hell did you find this? I said, I don't know. I just kind of fell upon it, and it's been working.
Right now,
that's where my mom's from, Cork.
An unnamed book that you and I, big man, have discussed with the live in game. Right now, we could bet on the Nicaraguan Youth League.
Yeah.
Live in game. Yeah, so we can bet on Nicaraguan teenagers playing soccer. Real matcher, under 21.
I'm a beach soccer guy. Have you ever bet on that? That's pretty
cool. Oh, yeah. I like that.
Little FIFA World Cup beach soccer? Yeah.
Beach soccer unders.
Oh, yeah.
Big man, always a pleasure, bro. Thanks for the time.
Hey, thanks, bro.
Great stuff. Follow up Big Man and his wins at Jeff Nadeau on Twitter. Yeah, beach soccer. Last night I was getting pissed off there wasn't live in-game for Colorado and TFC, and somebody told me it's a replay.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Game time decisions.
Level two. Let's roll. Red Heat and Rage Radio. Game time decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Rage. Ken Stewart. Red Heat. D. Tony Cincata will join us. We've been jammed with guests so far on the program today. Great stuff. A lot of winners on the table, hopefully, this evening. Dave Malinsky joined us, taking a look at Boise State tonight. Big man on campus, taking a look at High Point.
High Point.
High Point.
That's your team, High Point.
High Point.
Hey, got to love High Point. That Boise State line's move, too, was +3. Now it's up to +4.
Actually, I believe in that conference my team is Long Island.
Long Island?
I used to love those Long Island overs. Those Long Island iced teas, baby.
Yep. Nice and smooth. I don't know who I'm going to take tonight. I'm looking at the college board. I tend to take those home teams in those tight situations. You said the Gators own Alabama. I might give Alabama a long, hard look tonight.
They've won six straight there, for the record.
Yeah, I know, but some streaks are meant to be broken.
Yeah, Florida is struggling. We'll rattle off a couple of trends for you guys right now. College basketball tonight. We have the North Carolina Tar Heels and the Miami Hurricanes. The total is 151.5. The Tar Heels are an over machine, man. They're 6-2 to the over in their last 8 basketball games. They've played 13 home games this year. 10 of them have gone over the number. Meanwhile, the Miami Hurricanes are losing games as of late, but they're on a 10-4 over run. They can't stop anybody suddenly. So you add up the combination of North Carolina on a 6-2 over run, Tar Heels 10-3 to the over at home this year. Canes 10-4 to the over in their last 14 games. Give me the over, 151 points. I'm going to moneyline parlay the North Carolina Tar Heels with the Horned Frogs, TCU.
They're going down to the TCU tonight.
Yeah, and I tell you what, the Frogs are really ribbiting right now. They're ribbiting. That's pretty good.
They got lots of lily pads.
They're ribbiting
threes. They're having fun.
They're ribbiting threes. Jamie Dixon, if you look now, Cam, the Pittsburgh Panthers are a complete laughing stock.
Yeah, Jamie Dixon was a great coach with Pitt.
They're scoring like 11 points and a half. They get rid of Jamie Dixon. Now Dixon's doing great with TCU. Yep.
Obviously a good coach.
So you could lay the points in this game with TCU. I think they're in a good spot against K-State, but it's up to like 7 points. I don't like laying that type of number. Let's moneyline parlay the Tar Heels with Texas Christian. But K-State at TCU, here's another game that I think is going to go over the number. It's 146.5. TCU have been lighting it up, Kemp. 20-8 to the over on the year. I think they had 28 games. You know, that with the total,
yeah, you're going to be up.
Plenty of them have gone over the number. You're up 12 units.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with being up that many units. To another game, I think you're looking at with the from a high scoring conference, Creighton and DePaul. You talked about a lot of action on Creighton right now, but the total 153.5. DePaul could even score, but Creighton they could light it up. So that's an over that you might want to look at too.
TCU and K-State. K-State are 4-1 of the over in their last five. K-State will play the tempo that. If it's a lower scoring game, K-State's comfortable.
They can grind it out or score.
But they let you dictate the tempo to them. It's a problem for them. And TCU's going to dictate a very quick tempo on K-State. And K-State will be able to score. I don't know if they're going to be able to keep up ultimately. I think they probably lose like 84-73 or something like that. I think the game gets into the 150s. DePaul and Creighton, the total's 153. There's always a concern.
About DePaul doing their job.
Well, it could be a blowout. DePaul get blown out a lot, and they could get killed in this game tonight. DePaul have hit the wall. They were covering spreads a bit, but they've hit the wall as of late. But DePaul are 4-1 of the over in their last five basketball games. Creighton Blue Jays on a 3-0 over run right now. I like the over 153 there. St. Bonaventure should beat Davidson this evening. I think the number's short. It was 2. It's down to 1.5 right now. St. Bonaventure on a 10-game win streak. They're 12-1 at home. Davidson are just 6-7 on the road. I don't really understand the number. It could be a trap.
Yeah,
but,
I hope not.
But I think St. Bonaventure can get it done. We talked about Mississippi State 18-1 on their home court this year, taking on Tennessee. And they beat Tennessee earlier this year. And I'm not really looking at it like, oh, it's a revenge spot. I think Mississippi State just thinks, and Big Man on Campus brought it up, they've had success against Tennessee. They match up well with them. And I think Mississippi State's kids are just confident, thinking, we beat these guys already earlier in the year in Tennessee. We can beat them tonight at home. NBA basketball. This one's been flying under the radar right now. If you look, Cam, and you went to the basketball game, we'll get your review of Detroit Pistons.
We will.
The honeymoon is over, man.
It's dead.
I mean, it's
it was brutal.
The Blake Griffin marriage with the Pistons lasted longer than Britney Spears' Vegas shotgun marriage. It was like one day.
Exactly.
They were all happy. They won the first four games with Blake. Now it's just a freaking train wreck. It's not his fault.
Not all, no.
Yeah, they don't. Their point guards are terrible. But nevertheless, the Clippers are actually good now without Blake Griffin. Yeah, the Clippers are playing really good basketball. They like each other. They're looser. They play a quicker tempo. Tobias Harris is lighting it up. The Clippers guys are 9-2 against the spread in their last 11 road basketball games. They're getting 4.5 tonight. They're rested. They're going up there to Denver. I think they can beat Denver, actually. It's one of those games where I think a lot of people are going to take Denver over there at home, but the Clippers 9-2 against the spread, last 11 on the road. But I want to bring up the Denver Nuggets are on a 7-0 over run right now. The total is 230.
Yeah, that's but high.
What does but it tell you? It tells you that they don't want you to bet it. They're trying to scare you away.
So?
So I'm going with the over Clippers plus 4.5 and over the 230. I like the Clippers on the money line a bit here too. I think win the game outright.
It's 5 points, right? So if you're gonna, if you think they can cover the spread, you might as well do a.
Because to be honest, they probably don't cover if they lose.
Yeah, no,
they'll either lose. You know,
it's something that
they'll lose by 12 or they'll win the game outright.
It's something that I like to do now, Gabe. Like, you know what I mean? You look at those spreads. Like now, what I'm doing? If I take a dog, right? Your dog's 4 point between 4 and 6. You got to think. the game's probably going to, if you like the dog, you got to think they're going to win the game. They have a chance to win the game. So what I'm doing with my units now, say we're betting $100, I'll throw, you know, like 70 on the spread, 30 on the money line, or 60-40, however you want to do it. Hell, if you're confident, you can go 50-50 and try to win even more units. But I'm finding that thing. We had that conversation about the NFL. You said it, man. Like, hey, yeah, if you believe this dog is going to cover, you believe it's going to cover, you got to show a little bit of faith on the money line.
Well, it's different. Like a situation like last night with Texas, I was getting 12 points.
That's a whole different ballgame. Yeah. You take the points.
I didn't think they were going to win the game, but I didn't think Texas was going to blow them out. You know, I wasn't going to mess with Kansas on their home court. Yeah. But, you know, I thought, and listen, we got lucky. They lost by 10 points. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, we talk about this. Me and Tony talked about this yesterday. When a point spread is 4.5, 5 in basketball, that's really like 2.5 in football. You're really just sort of laying a field goal. It's very rare, actually, in the NBA that you get these one-point games and there's a dramatic buzzer beater and stuff. Most games will be close. Yeah.
Those games happen on TV with LeBron James in them.
And then, you know, and then usually games are close, but usually at about the 3-minute mark or so, and I watch like almost every damn NBA game, it's the same pattern. A game will be close. One team will sort of get up by 4 or 5, and then the foul game begins. And then they end up losing by 9 or so, you know, by 8. They'll hang around, and then they hit the wall in the last minute and a half, and the other team just sort of pulls away. So you're right. The 4.5 could be rendered meaningless. The Clippers could get blown out, or they could win the game outright. And then finally, in closing, I like the Golden Knights tonight. After they were the much better team than the LA Kings were last night and ended up losing the hockey game. It's rare to see Vegas screw up like that late, but they did. The Kings were all over them. It's a rematch tonight. We got the Vegas Golden Knights -165.
I lean Las Vegas in that hockey game as well. Two games that really, really caught my eye, Gabe. I don't usually do this. I love the Florida Panthers against the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight. I think it's a really good spot for Florida. They understand they need to win games. The Leafs played in Tampa Bay last night. They lost in a shootout. They could have won that game, but Florida's one of those teams. I also saw them when they were in Toronto a few weeks ago. They should have beat the Leafs, but Anderson stood on his damn head. He made about 49
saves
in that game.
So what's the deal with you? You have season tickets to the Raptors and the Maple Leafs now? You're going to games every night.
Know what's happening?
The next day, you never invite me. It's always the next day. Oh, yeah, I was at the game last night. Great seats.
I would love to invite you, but when I'm hanging out in the OTB and a guy's buddy stiffs or Oakley's got an extra ticket, you know what it comes down to? The people with money, their friends are like, we don't even care about watching these games. So I'm getting invited going, I would never afford
these
tickets. You've
been in like the last 2 weeks.
I know. I feel great. It's amazing. Actually, last night, though, I did pay. I had to pay for my buddy made me a deal, though. He goes, I got the tickets. They were like $160. He goes, give me $60 and a beer, and you get the ticket. I go, that seems like a fair deal. So I did. Anyway, you said it. Blake Griffin is a good player, Gabe, but he's pretty one-dimensional in that game. And the Pistons, I'll tell you, the minute they got down in that game, they folded like a cheap suit. Andre Drummond was fun to watch because he does a lot of the little things, but you could tell how frustrated he was with the rest of the guys on the team. Even I could just see, just the little, the daggers and the stares, and I hate to say it with
Ben Gundy. The rest of the guys are terrible.
They're a horrible basketball team. Let's call it for what it is. The Raptors' second unit came on, and that's another thing we could talk to Tony about with DraftKings. They're bringing out Poto, Wright, all the second team is taking these guys out to the woodshed, right? Players like $4,000 and change on DraftKings. They're extending the lead. Lowry doesn't have to come back. DeRozan, they're coming back well-rested, ready to rock. And I'll tell you, they absolutely kicked their ass last night. And that's why the Raptors are scary. That second unit's the best in basketball. I don't care what anybody says. They're awesome.
It is, but unfortunately for them.
I'm scared about Cleveland now.
In the playoffs, you don't play the entire second unit. Right? Basically, the playoffs, what happens in the playoffs?
Yeah, shorten the bench.
Stars play.
They do.
Yeah, that's what they get the big bucks for. Like, DeMar DeRozan and Lowry will be on the court for 38, 42 minutes, like, literally. It does give them depth, though. There's no doubt about it. But it's just, yeah, with the shortened bench and stuff, it's just different. Your deep roster really helps in the regular season more so than it does in the playoffs with the shortened bench. So what else are you looking at? You're taking the Florida Panthers tonight.
I am taking the Cats at -125. I actually love the Minnesota Wild at home tonight. They've been playing really good hockey at home. The last game they played, huge comeback. They were down 2-0 to San Jose going into the third. They tied it up and won in overtime. Good mojo with the Minnesota Wild right now. They're peaking, and they're playing really good puck. Minus 135 against a struggling St. Louis Blues team. I think I'm into that. And if I do take one dirty pooch tonight, Gabe, it's what we talked about before. I think Calgary at plus 130 or 135 is worth a look in Dallas. I don't like to lay big numbers with the Dallas Stars at home. They'll break your heart and your wallet.
Big game tonight with the Predators and the Jets. Two teams that are real contenders.
Predators are hot. Predators are a good team, man. Very good. Jets are playing great hockey, too.
You know what? I think the Minnesota Wild actually are a good play tonight. You know, you consider the St. Louis Blues. Look, the room was really angry about Stastny getting traded.
They lost 4-0 to Nashville on the week. They got no offense, Gabe.
Yeah, it's a baffling move for them, for a team that's actually competing. I mean, their big issue is always just shaky goaltending right now. They're a good team, the Blues.
They just don't score.
And then they just trade away one of their best players. It's...
That's a bad example.
Yeah, so,
I'm with you.
What's the reaction going to be tonight? And as you mentioned, while they're playing good hockey, short price, 40 cents.
Yeah, I got them in at $1.35. I told you, I might even do a parlay with plus money on a two-game parlay with Florida and Minnesota. I'm thinking about doing a round robin. Add your Las Vegas team. You could do a nice round robin parlay. Vegas, Calgary, Minnesota, Florida. And I was going to ask you about one basketball game tonight. It's obvious that the Chicago Bulls, you saw what happened last night. That's a tank job going on right there against Brooklyn. I actually laid Vizeen. Vince called me. He's like, I'm throwing like tons of money on the Brooklyn Nets. I go, are you? Well, you saw what happened there. Do you want to lay 11 with Charlotte? The question is, it's a lot of points.
They probably drill it.
But the Bulls, I don't know, man. Like, they might win the game by 25, 30 points.
I'll tell
Charlotte.
You, Kemba Walker's been one of the hottest players in basketball right now. He's absolutely killing it. I generally don't like laying 11 points.
No, nor do I. So
I'm more of like, I would put them in a money line parlay type of deal. Because, yeah,
They're winning the game.
Yeah, Chicago's got injuries. They're shutting guys down. Guys are in and out of the lineup. They had a nice little covering run.
They did. Now in reality,
that was then.
That's right. Now?
Things change in the gambling world.
Injured Bulls.
Because the team was covering 2 weeks ago. That's not going to win you money tonight. So the NFL Combine begins tomorrow. Well, actually, it begins today. Well, they showed up today and stuff. They go through the, they get, they do like the Tom Brady picture.
Yeah.
They stand there.
Stiff.
They're checking in. But so I'm looking at some of the props here, Cam. Bench press. Will anyone do more than 40 reps? You can bet on that. Highest bench press rep over under 38.5. Highest bench press reps coming from offensive player or defensive player. All right. Fastest 40 yard, 4.29. Over under.
I think I might have to go over there.
Fastest 40 yard dash will come from an offensive player or a defensive player. I think you sort of blindly bet the offense at minus 170. They'll be wide receivers. Highest vertical jump. I'm a big degenerate gambler, as we know, and even me, Cam, I don't want to be watching Rich Eisen on the NFL Network worried about, what was Calvin Ridley's 40 time?
Exactly. Well, what was John Ross's 40 time? What was it?
I don't know. It was like 4.2 something.
Yeah, well, nobody's going to be faster than that. So I think I'd probably take the over. If you said it was the over-under was 4.28, I don't think anybody will break that time.
I'm surprised here. One thing I do see, you know what? You know, you can have some fun with it. You know, you bet a couple of bucks. Lamar Jackson. 4.45 40
under.
Yeah, I'm surprised that slower is actually the favorite. -125 faster than 4.5. That's how they list it. Not over under, faster or slower.
He's a glider, man.
Faster than 4.45 seconds, -105, slower than 4.5 seconds, -125.
I think I'd lean faster with Lamar Jackson. I think he can get there. You see him, Gabe, in open space, no equipment on. He's a fast guy to begin with.
I agree. So tomorrow, the boys are going to be breaking it down head-to-head with us. We'll make an exception if you want to go back and forth a bit.
Yeah.
And check out Blewett, Sermonello, and our boy Joe Lisi. Looking forward to talking college football, Gabe. Baker Mayfield, I think he's overrated.
His voice is the best.
Yeah, Joe Lisi.
You love doing the
college. We break down all the big games.
You love doing that football show.
Oh, it's good.
Lots of fun.
I like busting Lisi's balls. Like one morning he dropped. He was like, "We have a massive game, Gabe. Vanderbilt versus Missouri."
What?
And I was like, yeah. I said, "Joe, the game's on TV. All right, we'll bet it, but come on, like,
it's not massive."
Oh, he said, "Huge." That was a huge matchup. I said, "You're tossing around huges like Bernie Sanders."
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
There's a lot of backup goalies playing tonight. We'll get to that in a couple of minutes of time. We'll hit that and much more. Tony Cincata is going to join us in the 6 o'clock hour. We were talking about the NFL Combine. We got some NFL fall news to hint. We talked about it yesterday with Kirk Cousins reportedly being sought after by the Minnesota Vikings. And the Minnesota Vikings, all 3 quarterbacks will be going to free agency. So Case Keenum, Teddy Bridgewater, and Sam Bradford are all going to be available.
Very interesting stuff. So they're going to have to make a decision. I think all of them won't be Minnesota Vikings. They'll all be going to new teams, and they'll probably make that pitch for Cousins. I thought it was going to be Denver, but the more I think about this, and if you're one of those quarterbacks too, how do you feel if you're Case Keenum? You're coming off that year. I know Sam Bradford got hurt. He came in there. He did his job. He took them deep. It's like, hey, man, we don't want you. Okay, well, I'll test the waters then.
You know what? There's rumors of who's going to step up for Case Keenum, the Cleveland Browns.
No.
It'd be a big mistake on their behalf.
I agree because it would be a big mistake.
If Keenum does this, he's not that good. I mean, he's okay.
He had a wicked year, but it was a lot of good circumstances. It's sort of
like Nick Foles, Cam. Like if Nick Foles told the Philadelphia Eagles, like if he wasn't this dude that doesn't care about money and he wants to be a minister after and stuff, and he's happy, you know, and all this, right? God forbid, I'm happy. It's thrown up. You almost feel like he should be. Listen, I won the Super Bowl. Where's my $25 million a year? If he was that guy, he's actually smart because he could do that if he wanted to. He really could. He could rock the boat and say, listen, I'm not playing for $4 million. This isn't happening. And you guys got to trade me, you know. Otherwise, you know, I'm going to be really. This isn't going to work out.
Seems pretty content though.
And he is content, but I think he understands. Nick Foles was good because he had one of the best offensive lines in the league, if not the best offensive line. The Eagles' offensive line was great. Cam, the backfield was loaded. You know, the Clint Kidd.
Blunt, Ajayi.
LeGarrette Blunt, Jay. They bring in Jay Ajayi.
They had Zach
Ertz.
They
had Alshon Jeffery. Nelson
position.
Aguilar.
Yes.
Exactly.
Good, great lines.
Nick Foles, and he also had great play calling. He was put in a position. Just run this play. It'll work. It was a perfect storm and a perfect cocktail, a perfect recipe. You take Nick Foles, you drop him on the Cleveland Browns.
He's going to get murdered.
He's Nick Foles again, dude.
Exactly.
His helmet's going to be all sideways. It'll be like Brock Osweiler. He's not as bad as Brock Osweiler, but literally – it'll be one of those deals where it's like, oh, damn, this guy, he's not a Super Bowl MVP. He was a Super Bowl MVP with Super Bowl caliber players.
Yep.
You drop him on a crap-ass team, and Case Keenum would be even worse.
He would.
You put Case Keenum on the Cleveland Browns, it's Deshaun Kizer 2.0. It doesn't matter.
Think about Deshaun Kizer, at least, as he's young. They threw him into the fire too quick.
They messed this kid up.
They sure did.
And already they're done with him, which is ridiculous.
No, that's really stupid because Deshaun Kizer, they put him in the game way too early. We knew when he came out of Notre Dame, the guy was raw. He's probably the rawest quarterback there. And then you throw the guy to the Wolves. He made so many mistakes in the red zone because his head, he had filled with so many, he got hit so hard, filled with so many bad play calls, bad decisions. Then they take him out, they put him back in.
I don't know how. The problem with the
Cleveland Browns is they just screw up everything that they touch.
You know, let's be honest. Hugh Jackson gets,
He's horrible. He's a horrible coach.
He doesn't get criticized.
No, he doesn't. He's a horrible head coach.
Like people,
they're not getting better.
Like people mock the Browns all the time. And it's like, well, Hugh Jackson, he's, you know, oh, poor Hugh.
Like Marvin Lewis gets,
poor
Hugh. Yeah,
Hugh Jackson's the one making these stupid decisions.
I agree.
With quarterbacks in, quarterbacks out, like you said, everybody knew. DeShone Kizer had talent. He was young. He didn't start a hell of a lot at Notre Dame. He was raw at Notre Dame. He turned the ball over a lot at Notre Dame. But the kid was a great athlete.
Sure is.
And he's got a cannon of an arm. So what do you do? You know, the NFL is not the NBA. You know, you can be a 19, 20-year-old in the NBA. You can get away with it if you're really, really good and you're mentally tough.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be a 19-year-old, 20-year-old quarterback in the NFL.
It's played by hungry, angry men.
You've got grown men coming at you. Yeah, nailing you, spinning your jersey around, getting tossed. You're dizzy. You're freaked out. Everything's going fast. Things were going fast for him at Notre Dame at times. You know, he's a raw player with good talent. You're right. And he's a good fee. I think he could be a good quarterback, but they massacred this kid.
So what's Cleveland going to do in the draft? Now, they're going to go and draft another quarterback
for
first round and then screw this thing up again too, throw him out there to the Wolves. Like, this is the thing with these guys. Don't they understand?
I think Josh Rosen is good enough that he can't even get screwed up by them, that he could actually elevate them.
Bro, that's...
Well, that he would actually be good and the process would begin if they got him.
Without him being rattled and taking steps backwards.
For the record, he released a statement stating that I never told anybody that I don't want to play for the Cleveland Browns.
I don't think he did.
Because there was, you know, could be a lot of crap, right? I mean, there's more BS with this NFL combine and draft stuff with smoke screens, other teams lying, other teams trying to
steer
players.
That's what you do. You want to screw another team, you just make up a rumor about them.
Oh, yeah, this kid's dropping. This
and everyone,
kid,
and everyone, it's kind of like this.
They do it all the time.
You believe it? No. A lot of the time it's just BS, man. It's a bunch of crap.
They do it all the time.
Sabotage.
Yeah, they'll say, oh, the kid's got a drug problem.
Yeah, no, he's fine.
And they'll spread a rumor that the kid's got a drug problem, then they'll just draft him, right? Because they want other they want other teams to pass on him.
You got to separate the BS from the truth. That's, you know, do your due diligence, right? But the Cleveland Browns, though,
Rex Ryan told J.J. Watt at the draft. Rex Ryan told him, listen, kid, you should fail a steroid, a PED test. You'll fall in the draft, and I promise I'll draft you. And you'll get like,
thanks. Yeah. How about I get drafted early and make more money? That sounds like kind of a better idea. Thanks, Rex.
I'm seeing it already right now. Marcus Peters got traded from Kansas City to the Rams. Yep. You'll notice online there's a lot of stories, and they're all hit jobs. No one wanted Marcus Peters. That's the story. How do they know that? But they speak to 28 other general managers in the league?
I personally think that's a good move for the Rams.
Like, Peter King came out and just, you know, right away. Nobody wanted Marcus Peters. You know, they contacted every team in the league. Nobody wanted to go near him. What, he didn't shoot anybody. He's not Ray Caruth. Like, oh, you know, they're like, his erratic behavior is scaring the Chiefs. Sounds to me like Peter King, and you're a good guy, Peter King, but that's who you are. You're a good guy that's been around for a while, and sounds to me like you're just buddies with a Kansas City Chief GM, and you want Chief fans to think, oh, no, he's a head case, and no one wanted him. We got rid of him. We did a good thing. Sort of like the clowns over at Sportsnet do with the Jays.
Oh,
they spin stuff. Oh, the Jays offered Edwin a contract.
No,
it's like, they did.
It was horrible. And
against
he was
the clock at the last second when they matched. Like,
said, thanks. I'm going to Cleveland.
But
bye,
you guys, like, basically, a great example is last week, Kemp. Josh Donaldson, it was mainstream news everywhere. Yep. ESPN, CBS, SI, you know, et cetera. It was on their front pages. Josh Donaldson will be heading to free agency, not seeing eye to eye with the Jays. And basically the quote was, whatever, it is what it is, it's a business, and we're not seeing eye to eye. And that was the quote. So that was the mainstream quote ever. I saw Sportsnet, and Sportsnet's a media conglomerate that owns the Toronto Blue Jays. Sportsnet's Twitter, Josh Donaldson, headline, not concerned about free agency, ready for season.
Spin job.
Well, he's ready for the season. But at the same point in time, he just stated that
he's not having a deal going.
Him saying that I'm heading to free agency and we're not seeing eye to eye, i.e. is they piss me off if they don't want to pay me.
Exactly.
Right? That's the language. So, but, you know, Sportsnet, it's great. He's not concerned about it at all.
He'll play. Yeah, thanks.
And so, the media is so full of it. So when I saw the smear job, so whatever, dude, the big thing about Peter is what he did. Remember he threw the flag
versus the Jets
in the stand.
Yeah, who cares?
It's amazing, Cam, that in the NFL, with all the garbage that goes on in this league,
that's what they're worried about?
That throwing things is like the kiss of death to them. Kyle Turley was deemed a nut job for throwing
his
a helmet.
That's right. That's
he
right.
threw a helmet. Well, he threw the Jets guy's helmet. Like
exactly.
So, you know, he was deemed a nut job, like he's erratic and he's crazy because he threw a helmet. Now, Marcus Peters he's being played out like he's a schizophrenic nut job who's erratic. I guess he stormed off the field after
well,
it happened.
No, but you remember the drive, too. Kansas City was playing the Jets.
So that ref deserved to get punched in the face.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. You saw the drive. I remember watching the game.
I had money on the Chiefs, yes. And even me, I wasn't even mad at Peters. I was like, I was like, damn
that
right.
That same drive, they went penalty on every single play.
Yeah, I remember
and
that
Peters
game,
absolutely snapped.
Do you remember
and then
that
he
game?
Freaked out. You know what?
Dude, the Chiefs had a 14-0 lead, a 28-14 nothing lead. Remember every, like, 5 minutes, the Jets would come back.
I know.
And then after, like, Andy Reid blames Marcus Peters for the loss because he threw a flag after it was a complete collapse. Like, Peters just melted down. I wasn't mad at him. It's an emotional game, camp football.
I actually kind of
so the guy picked the flag up. He got pissed. You know what? He didn't throw it at the ref. He got close to it. It looked like he was going to go at the ref.
He just chucked it in the stands.
He told the ref, like, I guess, too, they were like, oh, he says a lot of crazy things. I guess he told the ref to go F himself. He picked the flag up and he whipped it into the stands.
It's crazy as it sounds, a game for me. I want to see a player with a little bit of emotion getting pissed off. You know what? At least it means he cares about the game. It's just not, I'm playing for the money or whatever. And people, if you saw that drive, what the refs did to those guys on that series, you would have been chucking a flag too. So let's call it out for what it
is. I think the Rams got a good player.
That's what I'm saying.
He'll fit right in there too. They got flashy guys.
They got some guys who like to rough
They're
it
not going
to
have a problem with him running his mouth and stuff.
Well, you saw the play. Hey. We watch the Rams play all the time.
Kansas City Chiefs. What are you, the Girl Scouts? Kansas City, the KC Girl Guides here?
Hey, you saw what happened with the Rams, too, in that game versus the Falcons. A lot of the time, and the defense was exposed in that game. Now what? People are talking crap about him? I think it's a great – I think it's a steal for the organization.
But we should note, for the Chiefs' defense, they got the dude from the Redskins in the Alex Smith deal. So they got a DB.
That's fair. Right?
So they got a DB.
I'm just happy that the Rams addressed a need on their team, and I think Peters is still good.
I get it. You know, I don't have a problem with the Chiefs moving on from Peters.
Yeah,
I get that. I was just bringing up the fact that a media smear job that goes on immediately. It's like, Peter King knows every little detail about what happened. How? Who told you all this? I don't know. My guess is the general manager of the Kansas City Chiefs told you all
exactly.
This.
Exactly. And why would you
believe
them?
He doesn't want people saying, why the hell did you just trade a 25-year-old star? The thing is with Marcus Peters, he's damn good. It's not just that he's mouthy and flashy. He actually makes plays. He creates turnovers. He takes it back to the house.
Trust me, as a concern,
he's a playmaker.
Hey, for an AFC West fan, you're pissed that the Rams picked up Marcus Peters. Think about the other team. San Francisco's getting better. Now we're going to see with Garoppolo. Seattle's
getting
older. Well,
it's funny you say that.
It's a very interesting
scenario.
Because
San Francisco is reportedly the other team that really tried to get him. Those were the two teams, the Rams. And the Niners, you look at the Niners.
Don't you think San Francisco?
Run by John Lynch, a Hall of Fame safety.
You don't think he did his due diligence?
Yeah, but he understands you need crazy dudes. It's the NFL. I remember Pinball Clemens saying that. Pinball Clemens, one of the nicest guys ever.
He's clean.
He said you need a couple of convicts on the team, basically. You need it. You know, like... Not all out convicts. I'm not saying you need guys that kill people.
You need guys who are just
You need erratic,
crazy.
Yeah, you need the egos. You need that sort of flair. The whole hum teams. Who are the whole hum teams? Kansas City. What's it get them? Gets them to the playoffs and they lose.
What? So lose
the old Marty Schottenheimer way. Minnesota Vikings, same way. You know, like the Vikings are getting more brash and they're getting flashier players. Yeah. I'm not talking about getting guys going to be idiots and dance in the end zone. I'm talking about nut job competitors. You know, there's nothing. So, you tell the guy after. Don't throw the flag like that again. But,
I like the way
I thought it was funny.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? You tell him, I thought it was funny. But don't do that again.
I laughed.
Yeah.
I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, but they suspended him for the game after.
I know they did.
Like, he didn't play the next week.
I know.
So, instead of doing that, you pull the kid aside. He's 25 years old. You pull him aside. You go, dude. The ref was an idiot. I came close to punching him.
But
in this league, you're going to get a bad reputation, and it's going to stick with you.
Yeah.
And it's dumb. I know it's dumb just because you did this, but You explain it to him instead of treating him like this, oh, and then smearing his name. It's a Boston thing, too. Boston always does it. Every time a guy in the Bruins leaves or a guy in the Red Sox or Celtics
leaves.
They
talk crap about
him. Oh, yeah. Isaiah Thomas.
But he was a hero when he was there.
Yeah, when he was playing there and his sister died, he was the greatest guy ever. And then suddenly he was a selfish prick because he wasn't on the team anymore, right?
So, yeah, speaking of Boston, just an update note, Gabe. Patrice Bergeron's out for a couple weeks. I know he's probably going to be in a people's DraftKings lineup. An injury happened this afternoon. So just for people there, and that's a huge injury because, remember, Marchand, that team. The Boston Bruins are actually playing real damn good hockey.
This guy, Rick Nash.
Yeah, that's very good. Yeah.
So Nash has to fill it.
Stick around with me, Gabe, and Steve Shrimps, and we'll talk about Rick Nash in a hockey DFS lineup.
Now Rick Nash is going to be counted on even more.
Count the cash with Rick Nash.
So the Bruins, that's
that's a really good move that they went out and got Rick Nash now.
To be honest, I guess if you're the Bruins, you're better off if Cincata would call him, Bergeron. You're better off if
Bergeron gets hurt now, not in the playoffs.
Well, yeah, you don't want to lose Patrice Bergeron.
I like Bergeron.
You don't want to lose Patrice Bergeron in the playoffs.
I could really go for a Bergeron right now, man. I'm starving.
You can't
these cashews aren't getting it done. I didn't eat all day, Morenzi. I'm a big man.
I'm starting to get a little hungry.
Can I order a pie when Steam Shrimps comes on or what? I think
you can order during a commercial break.
I'll spring for a pizza. I don't mind if the guy finds the place.
Yeah. Boston Bruins. What do you mean find a place? It's not that complicated.
No, sometimes.
Tell them Melrose Place Studios.
Yeah, good point.
Boston Bruins forward Patrice Bergeron is without a timeline for returning to the lineup after fracturing his foot.
Yeah, they say at least a couple weeks. At least.
That's not good.
Fractured foot. Bad injury.
That's not good.
Nope, not good for the Bees. They're very, very, very lucky.
I didn't think the Bees were going to win the East anyway.
I think a lot of people think they're a good dark horse to compete in the East.
I think the Pittsburgh Penguins are winning.
Yeah, the Pittsburgh Penguins are a very good hockey team. Very good team.
Or maybe the other team in Pennsylvania, the Philadelphia Flyers.
You know what one thing the Flyers do? They're not afraid. The one thing that the Penguins do, what do? Speed, speed, speed. What do the Flyers like to do? Punch you in the face.
Yeah, but the Flyers are a little different now.
They are, but they still have that edge.
That never worked for them against Pittsburgh.
They got close.
It was fun to watch.
They were the only team that scared Pittsburgh
They would take them six and seven.
Come on. They go to seven, and Pittsburgh rolled over everybody.
Dude,
Columbus.
I remember those games, too.
They were great.
I've never
games.
Seen games go over as quick as those.
Oh, yeah. They were 5-4 in the first period.
Yeah.
I know.
It was literally 3-3, like every game in the first period.
That was when they started making totals at 6.5. Like it was.
Like
nuts.
I remember, I bet the no goal in the first 10-minute prop. I lost. I think they scored like 17. Seven. It was like, oh, they score, Crosby. That was crazy.
The Battle
stuff.
Of Pennsylvania is fun.
Yeah. So Patrice Bergeron, that's not good.
I like Bergeron.
Yeah. You know what, Cam? He's not going to be out for 2 weeks. He's going to be reevaluated in 2 weeks.
Yeah. So fractured foot could mean a month.
Could be longer. You know, I got to tell you, they're really. If it's going to happen, at least it happened now. But
just get him back right before the playoffs.
February is such a short month that it...
I forgot about February. Yeah, you go right into March.
We're right into May.
Actually, today's the
We're going to be in Vegas, not this Wednesday, but like the Wednesday after.
It's February 27th today. When are we going? March?
Yeah, next Wednesday will be like March 7th.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you're right. Time's
because
flying.
Of this little 28-day deal...
Yeah, you lose 3 days in
we're
the month.
Catapulting right into... Yeah, I realize that. We're not that far away from Las Vegas, Nevada.
You know what else sucks more? You got to pay your rent before you don't get those extra windows on 30 and 31. 28.
Dude,
the door comes knocking.
I saw the condo. Oh, yeah. I saw the condo lady that owns my unit. I saw her in the elevator on Sunday, which was like the 22nd. She asked me if I could pay her then. I'm like, I'm a little light this month. I'm like, Jesus.
You got
5 days before the...
What are they asking you on the 22nd for? Like, that's ridiculous.
She's sending me texts now. Can we set up a meeting for Thursday at
11
a.m.?
I'll pay you at the end of the month like every other human being does. What a joke.
Yeah, we better hope that those checks got sent out.
Yeah. Hope the mail's
I told great. Her, I said, yeah, check's in the mail.
It is? Mortgage due, so is rent. It's due. Yeah, February, tough month. It's a really tough month to get ahead. Got to hit some winners, buddy. Winners.
Got to hit some futures.
You don't like waiting, though. You're not a man with patience.
Nah, but these little plus 110s, not good enough. Minus 110. I need an 80-1 with the Michigan Wolverines.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand?
or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
We talked a little baseball with Dave Malinsky, the professor. Great stuff. You can read his column over at sportsbookreview.com. Big man on campus that joined us. The Tony Cincotta will join us in a couple of minutes. We'll talk some DFS. We'll get to our best bets of the night. But, of course, the Major League Baseball regular season is rapidly approaching, and the props, the win totals, the divisional odds, futures, everything is starting to get released right now, including the 2018 regular season wins by pitcher. So we're not going to lock in any picks right now. These were just released. So we're going to share them with you right now. Get out your pencils, people. Aaron Nola. He went 12-11 last year, Cam. Over-under wins for Aaron Nola, the Philadelphia Phillies, is 13.5. And I got to tell you,
I like the over.
I'm sort of bullish on the Phillies this year.
So am I.
Their win total is 74.5, 75, depending on the book. They've got a pretty powerful offense. They've got a lot of young sticks.
I agree.
That can put the ball out of the park.
And Nola's a wicked pitcher. He's only going to get better. He's a young kid, man. I think he can get there, Gabe. I love that pick, actually. It seems like a lot.
It goes from you think he can get there to you love it.
No, I'd say if I was to make the bet, over.
As I stated, for me, the 13.5, it's just a little high.
It's high. It's high.
It's a little high for me. I said, I'm not giving any picks now. We're just telling people what the numbers are. Carlos Carrasco, Cleveland Indians. Last year, he was 18-6. This year, the win total, 14.5.
I think that one might be a little bit high. Carlos Carrasco had some, he battled some injuries. I'm not sure if he's going to get there. That one will be close to the number, but I'm just saying these are initial lean to the under.
Chris Sale, 15.5 wins for Chris Sale, Boston Red Sox.
That's
he's probably going to get there.
It'll right on the number.
The problem with this is, and I don't like it, and now we'll get to Kershaw in a second of why I wouldn't bet it. 15.5, he could pitch well all year. What if he gets hurt?
That's the thing.
The thing is, he could be 12-4, and then in August, they're like, oh, you know what, we're making the playoffs. We got to shut him down for 6 weeks.
Exactly.
And he gets stuck at 14 wins or 13 wins.
And take a look at pitchers that have been hurt before, the Strasburgs of the world and all those guys.
I'm not saying that I think he's going to suck. I'm just stating that I don't really. You need a clean ride. It's like a horse race.
Yeah, we never get a clean ride.
You don't get a clean ride. You end up on the DL a couple of times. You're not getting the 16 wins.
No, you're not. You're not getting the.
That's why, like Clayton Kershaw, 17.5.
It's very risky.
He doesn't have anything to prove. It's not like Clayton Kershaw's determined, oh, I need to win 20 games to prove to people I'm worth the money.
But he has the competitive mindset to, he's one of those guys, he's a winner, he battles, he can go out there and pitch all the time. I think he will get that to that number, Gabe, but you're right, he doesn't need
to,
but he's a
winner. He needs to stay healthy, which he hasn't.
Mm-hmm.
He got there last year and they shut him down. Don't show how good he actually is.
I know.
That, he didn't pitch for like 6 weeks of the season and he was still 18-game winner.
He's special. He's a special pitcher. I don't know. The thing I like about Nola, though, I think he's young, and I think he's the type of pitcher. Anything could happen. You can get injured, but I think he's going to be pretty durable. And I'm with you. I really like
it. If it was 11.5, I would buy in.
Yeah.
Getting to the 14 wins freaks me out a little bit. Now, as far as Clayton Kershaw is concerned, he's won 20 games twice. He won 21 games in 2011. He won 21 games in 2014. But after that, Cam, 16 games, 12 games, as I stated, pitched well, but 12-4 only. And then last year, 18-4. So he's only gone in his career. I'll put it this way. I'll simplify this. In his career, he's only gone over 17.5 three times. So it's not like it's a lock. He's going to,
Definitely not a lock.
It's a high number, guys. And it doesn't equate him not pitching well. It equates What if the Dodgers are up by 12 games?
Yeah, they might shut them down.
Yeah. You know, what do they say? Listen, you know, your arm's
we
a little sore.
We need you for the postseason.
Yes,
man.
I can't buy it. It's like buying a stock. It's just too high at 17 and a half. Same thing here. I actually think, I can't say this guy's overrated, but I swear to God, he screws me all the time, is Corey Kluber. Corey Kluber is over under 16 and a half.
That seems a little high. That one seems a tad high.
He was 18 and 4 last year.
There's no guarantee you're going to win 18 games again. These numbers are tough. That's why you don't make these bets right now, Morenci.
I want to go through the preseason, right? I want to see how these guys are looking. How's their arm? Are they injured, yep, et cetera? Are they going to get injured? Yeah, I'm not in a hurry to be betting that either, the 16 and a half. David Price, over under 14 and a half wins.
I want to say under.
I don't think he'll stay healthy.
I don't either. He's getting older now.
He was 6-3 last year.
Yeah, well, beat up, hurt the whole time. But I'm telling you, that's a lot of wins. I really like that under a lot. I don't think
getting
he'll get
15
there.
Is a lot. Yeah.
He's not a spring chicken anymore. David Price might have come in the league really young from Vanderbilt, but he's been in the league and he's thrown a lot of pitches, man. He's thrown a lot of pitches.
He's definitely
over
regressing.
Year. Yes, he is regressing.
This is the one that actually caught my eye. And as I stated, these numbers just came out. I only saw these I'm reading some of these for the first time, actually. But when I briefly saw that they were released, this is one that caught my eye a little bit because I think this team's going to be in bounce-back mode this year, and he's a damn good pitcher. And we're not asking for too much here. Johnny Cueto, 12.5 wins.
I've always liked Johnny Cueto.
Johnny Cueto's a good pitcher. Listen, San Francisco were a freaking train wreck last year. It was a disaster.
It was actually shocking how
but
bad.
But they didn't
were.
Like it. They tried to get Stanton. They tried to, San Francisco basically called every damn big-time free agent that was available. Or, other teams that they knew were trading players. San Francisco did not like sucking last year. They've improved their team a bit. 12.5 with Johnny Cueto, intriguing. He seems to be just sort of the king of sort of getting to 14, 15 wins, right?
Yeah, he grinds it out. He's a true grinder in every sense of the word. He'll battle.
Johnny Cueto, 18-5 2 years ago. The thing with Cueto is there's just too many inconsistencies. There's a 20-9, but then you got 11-13, a 7-6, a 4-7, 18-5, 8-8.
He can get lit
up. He is a good pitcher, but it's all over the place.
Mm-hmm. I agree. He's very inconsistent. I wouldn't lay the over on him, even if you like him. That's very tough.
They're not giving money away,
no,
Cam.
No, they don't give it. These guys, they're sportsbooks for a reason. And as crazy as Nola's is, and it does seem high with all the guys that you mentioned, the reason why, Gabe, I'd attack his over, take a look at him and compare to other pitchers. I think team on the rise, young guy, hasn't thrown that many innings. I really see big things. And
you have to look at the division that they play in, because he'll pitch against them more.
Great point, too. In the division, he can get wins.
Marlins lost a lot of bats.
They're going to be awful. Mets. Big deal. Yeah, horrible. That's what I'm saying. Like that, I think he's in a real good spot to get many, many wins, like 16, 17 wins.
Jose Quintana. Quintana's 14.5 with the Cubs.
Yep. With former White Sox?
He was 11-11 last year, but it's kind of deceptive because he was on a
Chicago.
Bad team. Yeah.
Exactly. The other Chicago.
This one, actually, I'm kind of kicking the tires on the under on this one. Justin Verlander, 15.5.
That's high.
Verlander pitched really well in the playoffs, and now they set this number up here.
Who's to say he can't regress a little bit?
Could regress a little bit.
He's an older guy.
Won the World Series. He's got an ultra-hot
girlfriend. Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah. Hey, I won the World Series. I did my thing for you guys. What do you want from me?
It's my year.
Thing is, he pitched well in the second half of the year last year, too. It wasn't just with the Astros in the playoffs, but I don't know. Is he just going to run the table again? Like, Cam, I don't want to bet over under 17.5 with a guy like Kershaw or 16.5 with some of these better pitchers.
With Justin Verlander.
And now an older Verlander, you got to get to 16 wins. And another thing is they might shut you down. The Astros might be up by a million games.
That's true. That's exactly true. He had a great second half. But for Justin Verlander, we also saw with the Tigers, Gabe, he can also have problems pitching. He had high ERA for a while. He just got it back. Who's to say? That's the thing about pitching, man. It's fickle, and I think that's – I got to believe that's a little too much
I just feel it's a little high, yeah. Kyle Hendricks is 13.5. He was 7-5 last year. Severino with the Yankees.
What's he?
He's going to be really aided and abetted, man, by those bats.
What's the number?
14.5.
I was going to say 12.5, 13.
He was 14.5 yeah. last year.
14. Yeah. You know what? With that lineup, though? Ooh.
Madison Good. Bumgarner, 15.5. 4-9 last year
yeah,
with the
horrible,
injuries.
Horrible team last year.
With the injuries, too. Mm. Max Scherzer, 16.5. It's just too high, but this guy just racks up wins. But he was only 16-6 last year. Noah Syndergaard.
Dangerous.
Man, these Met pitchers, you just blindly bet the under.
DeGrom, what are you doing? How? Yeah, because they get
their arms fall off.
Yep, exactly it.
New York Met pitchers could be extras on The Walking Dead. They could be zombies.
What's Harvey, 1.5? He's not even be in the league.
Like, you know, Syndergaard, 13.5. I don't know. He was 1-2 last year. I'm going under.
Yeah. With the risk of injury, I think that would be a very smart bet. Like, when you're looking at
I look forward to Sincata's take on this. We'll talk yeah. DFS, yeah. and we'll throw some of these guys. Yeah. We got to kick the tires. Like, listen, training, you know, the season's just begun, right? I don't want to lock anything in. What's that, Florio? He's already there.
Oh, he's listening.
Sincata's jumping in early.
What's up, my man?
Hey. I thought Florio had bad news for us.
I know. I was like, I don't like
guys, we got technical errors.
I don't like the sound of that one.
Right. Yeah, so yeah, you're listening to our baseball. Listen, I'm not locking anything in here, Tony. I'm just throwing the numbers out. These just came out today, but what do you think of what we're talking about so far?
Yeah, you know, I think everybody gets scared away from the pitching because of all the injuries in the past. And I think if you took the group as a whole, like say you took the top five or six guys and you bet the under, I think you'll end up winning.
I know. I lean to the unders on the high ones more.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm looking to go, you know, over on some of the lower ones. So with Syndergaard here at 13.5, you add up the history of these New York Met pitchers. I don't know, Tony. It seems pretty clear that you, me, and Cam would be a better medical staff and have better advice for these guys. Like, they screw every rehab up. I don't trust that, Syndergaard's just going to win 14 games this year.
All right, so here's the thing. He won 14 games in 2016, exactly 183 innings pitched. Here's what happens, though, in 2017. He only pitched 30 innings. There's a thing in baseball they call the Verducci effect. Whenever you go up 40 innings from the year prior, you run into arm trouble. How many innings is Noah Syndergaard going? You were talking about, if they're playing good, do they shut him down at one point? I think he closes out 150 innings. I think if he got the allotment, he'd be right. I would go over 14, but I'm worried about going under because of the innings limit.
I was thinking about Ohtani here. Now, listen, obviously, he's new. I just think it's a little insane, Tony, to try to play two positions. I don't know if you heard Malinsky on.
Yes.
But, man, he brought up some great points about when batters, when they know he's pitching tomorrow or in 2 days, etc., because it'll be interesting to see if he's going to, they paid him all his money, so is he going to be the DH tonight before he pitches? But Malinsky brought up a good point. They're going to throw high heat at him. You know, they might try to hit him a few times.
The old slap tags.
Get him down on the ground.
Pissed off.
Whenever he's on the base, exactly, slap tags to the ankle. Just throw back just to get him moving back and forth a lot. They're going to work this guy. This isn't a Japanese league. And Malinsky had a good point. He said they're polite there. Yeah, you play two positions, and it's a little different in America, man. You got Americans, Venezuelans, and Dominicans. They're going to try to run this guy into the dirt, knowing that he's a pitcher as well. I don't think he gets 11 wins, Tony. I think that's a little ambitious. I think he's a better hitter out of the gate than pitcher, personally.
Oh, I don't. I don't. I think he's going to struggle. I mean, he'll hit for power, but I think he's going to hit 220-230. But here's the problem that people don't realize, I think. When you look at Darvish, you look at Matsuzaka, you look at Hideo Nomo, you look at Tanaka, all these guys were already established in Japan. This kid's only 23 years old. He's the youngest one to ever come over. And now he's going to try to attempt two positions. I think we're asking a lot of this kid. I think his strikeout totals are going to be there. But I think we're going to have high walk totals. And I think he gets right around 10 wins. Plus, you got to remember, every major league pitcher pitches every fifth day. He's pitching every sixth day. So you'll lose six starts this year compared to every other pitcher.
One thing I will note, a lot of these Japanese pitchers, they have unorthodox windups and deliveries.
Yep.
And normally they'll have a little. Remember Nomo, the guy's throwing no hitters, and he's getting hit for 9 home runs a game, right? Once they figured it out, they're like, all right, just wait. Don't get thrown off by his little his little like turn to the side, just you know. Once they figure it out,
then they get lit up.
Yeah, they catch on. It's going to be interesting. I don't think he gets the 10.5 win personally. I just think
I drafted the guy in two leagues, and I'll be honest with you. The more and more I look at the age situation and pitching every 6 days, I think it's going to be a little tougher than people anticipated.
All right, there's the music on the other side. D. Tony Sincotta, Cam Stewart, and I will talk some DFS and best bets.